Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the HSE has published new information and guidance on COVID-19 vaccines for children, which aims to help parents and guardians of 5 to 11-year-olds make an informed decision when their child is offered a COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Lucy Jessop is Director of the National Immunisation Office, and she can tell us more about the guidance. You're very welcome to the programme this afternoon, Lucy. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin.
I suppose what we might start with is when we can expect all this to happen. Do we have any dates on the planned rollout or when people might expect to get a notification?
Well, as you say, we have published the information now for parents to have a look at to make sure that they have plenty of time to consider the information, to discuss with other people that they would like to discuss the vaccine with, and then also when they are offered the vaccine program, they will be able to make that informed decision for themselves. So the information about when the program will start will be available shortly, and we will advertise that very widely on social media as soon as we have those dates confirmed.
I know the Taoiseach last night on the 6-1 News, I think, mentioned the 20th of December is a possible date for a starting point for children, some children at least, although I know you may not have specific dates, but would you have any concerns that other announcement that we've just heard in the news headlines there and we were discussing earlier, which is that there's a plan now to offer the booster vaccine to everyone over the age of 16, that would just put too much stress on the system, or it might delay the rollout to children in any way?
No, I think we have plans in place to be able to manage with all those plans together. So as you know, our GP colleagues have been asked to increase the vaccinations that they are doing. So they will be doing more vaccinations, and then we will be running specific clinics in our vaccination centres for children as well. So I think we will be able to manage all those things as planned.
Are you concerned then that parents might have reservations about their children getting the vaccine?
Well, I think parents obviously always want to have appropriate information around the vaccine, and this is a new vaccine being offered to children. So I know parents will want to read the information, which is why we want to give them plenty of time to consider it. This vaccine has been through trials, and it has been already approved in America and Canada and Israel, and has been being used there. Over 4 million children have had their doses in America already. So there's some information coming from that in terms of the safety as well as from the study. So it is a safe vaccine, although obviously we don't have very long-term data on that. So, you know, people need to be aware of the benefits and the risks as they're making their decisions.
Yeah, we our reporter, John Cook, when it was first announced that we were planning to roll out vaccines to children, went out and spoke to people on the streets about what their plans were around vaccines. And a lot of the people he spoke to were saying, you know, we've got our vaccines ourselves. We're fully vaccinated. We're not anti-vax in any way, but we would have concerns about our children. Our younger children in particular, and they mentioned that thing that you've just mentioned there, the long-term issue, that, you know, there may be trials showing short-term there's really very little risk, but that nobody really knows in the long-term. So what would you say to parents who have that concern?
Well, I would say, obviously, for adults, these vaccines have been used for a year now, and the trials even longer than that for adults, and there still haven't been any long-term effects seen for people for adults having those vaccines. There is the very rare side effect of the myocarditis and pericarditis in sort of older adolescents and people in their early 20s. It seems to be less in the younger adolescents, so the 12 to 15-year-olds. So the risk of that is unknown in the 5 to 11-year-olds, but even in those people who have developed myocarditis and pericarditis, they have recovered from that. So in terms of that, I think I would reassure parents it does appear to be a very safe vaccine and a very effective vaccine. And of course, we know getting COVID-19 has side effects as well. Obviously, there are some very severe conditions that can happen from COVID-19. Children can be hospitalised, and also the potential of long COVID and this multi-system inflammatory disease, and indeed myocarditis and pericarditis can be caused by COVID-19 as well. So we know the vaccine is highly effective at preventing COVID-19, and although younger children would tend to be generally mildly infected, there are some children that will suffer some of the more severe consequences of COVID-19, and this is a way we can protect them against that.
Which children will be vaccinated first?
Yeah, so the National Immunisation Advisory Committee have strongly recommended that children aged 5 to 11 should be vaccinated if they have health conditions that put them at severe risk of severe illness when they have COVID-19. So that would be things like children who have recently had cancer, who have chronic heart, kidney, liver, lung or neurological conditions, for example. So children like that should definitely, their parents should be considering vaccinating them. Also, if they live with a younger child with one of those conditions, or they live with an adult who is immunocompromised, they would also be strongly recommended to come forward for vaccination. And those will be the ones offered the vaccine first. And then the vaccine will be offered to all other children for parents if they want to vaccinate them.
As part of this public information campaign, I think parents are going to be told that if they decide not to vaccinate their younger children, they will face a greater risk of missing school and other activities because they'll contract the virus. Is that right?
Well, we do know that obviously there's quite a lot of disease around in the 5 to 11 year olds at the moment, and there are quite a lot of children missing school currently because they are infected with COVID-19. We do know that is happening at the moment. So obviously an unvaccinated child is more likely to catch COVID-19, and this is a way we can protect them against COVID-19. So really it will protect them against the severe consequences potentially of COVID-19, but also obviously if they don't catch COVID-19, then they won't need to miss school as well.
Do we have any idea at this point where this will all happen, in what setting?
In the vaccination centre. So the National Immunisation Advisory Committee have recommended that we do this in child-friendly clinics. And so we feel that the vaccination centres are probably the most sensible place to be offering these vaccines.
And would you have any concern that that would be in any way off-putting for younger children, you know, who might know their GP might be more inclined to be, you know, dragged in the door of their GP than go into, you know, a big vaccination centre where it might be a little bit intimidating?
Well, we will be making sure that the clinics are more child-friendly, and we will be making sure that there are longer appointments so the children can feel more comfortable in the environment. And any children that have any particular needs, for example, might need to come at a quieter time, that there will be that opportunity as well. So parents will be able to be offered appointments where there is a much quieter time for children that may need that kind of environment.
Okay, so sorry, that's interesting. So there'll be longer appointment times for children, the option of a quieter time if necessary. And are there any other measures specifically to make it more child-friendly, as you say?
Well, we are also putting together some information that actually parents can share with their children so they can understand the process beforehand and help them understand why they might want to get vaccinated and, you know, the risks and benefits for the child. And also it's important, as parents always would do, if they are taking their children to appointments like this, they can bring a toy with them or a book or headphones or ear defenders or anything that they might need to make their child feel more comfortable and, to distract them a little bit from the appointment. So that's absolutely fine to bring things with them.
The gap between the two shots is much shorter, isn't it, than it is for adults?
Well, no, it's 21 days. So most people for adults, if they were getting the Pfizer vaccine, were also getting it around 21 days. So the gap is the same. But if a child is immunocompromised, the gap they then should have a third dose, and that gap is a bit shorter. So that's 28 days after the second dose.
And can children expect to get the same side effects as adults in some instances got? You know, some adults would have got headaches or felt a bit fluey or, you know, whatever, a sore arm, whatever it might be. Can children expect the same side effects?
Yes, so the side effects are very similar, exactly, those exact side effects, so feeling tired, headaches, sore arms, muscle pains, those kind of things. But usually they can be managed with some paracetamol at home.
Okay, so I'm imagining then my seven-year-old who, you know, like most seven-year-olds, I think, doesn't like needles, and trying to convince him in the first place to go, which is going to be a feat, but I will do my best. Then the second time, you know, having experienced the pain and gone through it and understood it, and I know it's not a lot of pain, but you know the way children can hype these things up in their heads. Would you have concerns about parents maybe just not wanting to have that fight if that fight gets too big for the second shot, if once kids know what they're in for?
Yeah, well, I hope not. I hope that the experience will be a quite smooth and nice experience for the child. It's only a tiny pinch of the at the time of the vaccination, and hopefully they won't experience too many side effects, and they will be happy enough to come back. Hopefully the environment that we provide for them will be one that they will feel comfortable with. Obviously, children are given their MMR and their 4-in-1 at school, even when their parents aren't present. So I think they're probably more comfortable when their parents or their guardians are present with them in the clinic.
Mm. And what about the possibility then of boosters for children, given we're already there with adults?
So there's no evidence for that at the moment. Obviously, we're just starting the programme for the children. So that may be something that might come in the future, but obviously we wouldn't know that at the moment.
And speaking of evidence, actually, we had David Nabarro from the WHO on the programme last week, and he was saying that there's no evidence at the moment or no data to support the idea that this would, vaccinating children of this age group would reduce transmission in that age group.
No, we don't know exactly about reducing transmission in that age group, but obviously the benefit for the child in not catching COVID, because it is very effective at protecting them from COVID, will hopefully reduce the burden of COVID-19 within that age group.
Okay. He also said that we shouldn't be rolling it out for 2 months for children, just to try and get the rest of the world vaccinated.
Well, in terms of vaccine supplies, this is a different vaccine from the adult vaccine, so it doesn't really affect the vaccine supplies to other people in the world, you know, the adults in the world.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Lucy Jessop, Director of the National Immunisation Office. Now, up next, we're going to be finding out what further restrictions are likely to be recommended by NPHET.